Lord, thank you for Jerome. Thank you for the message that you've given him. I just pray that it's your message and it comes out well, and anything that's not of you falls away, and everything that is of you and for you is what we take from this, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Kirsty. Good morning, everybody. I must say, you know, I was all stacked up for this sermon, and then I got the feels because of that video. So I'm feeling quite emotional, which is brilliant. But while I was watching it, actually, there's this book that I've been reading at the moment. I just thought just to share this. And I highlighted this quote. There you go. And it just kind of touched my heart. So I thought I should share it with you before I start. And it says this. It says that guilt is a poor motivator for improving our behavior. It is not by fear that the human heart is unlocked. It is by allurement, that all pervasive unconscious desire for oneness that the whole of creation is drawn and driven and sustained. And I think that's just beautiful. That, you know, it's not about fear or guilt. It's about the love that we have for people, for family, that motivates us to do good things. And so I encourage all of us, if you're feeling passionate about, Safe Families for Children, so do take a look at the stand at the end. So our sermon series is kind of related. It's about the ark. Actually, this is the start of the sermon series, which is going to take us through to the new year. The ark is about leading and learning. So leading, not in a sense of just leading from the front, but actually all different forms of leadership, of influence, of how we affect people in our everyday life. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy for the next few months, with Christmas, beloved Christmas in between, which is my favourite time of the year, which is a joke. And so I haven't told you this, but I'm hoping this will stick. Leading and learning, I realised, is LAL, which is quite funny. So it's really funny in my head when I was thinking about this. I can imagine us at St. James as people that want to lead and to learn together, just lalling all the time. You know, so as we go throughout our life, I pray that we'll be lalling for the gospel today. So yeah, as we look into Timothy, I thought it'd be really good to give some backstory as to Timothy and Paul. So Paul was actually quite a violent man before he met Jesus. He was a persecutor of Christians, and you may know the story. He was very zealous for his belief in the law, and thought it right to persecute Christians and bring them to justice. And thankfully, for all of our sake, Saul, as his name was then, encountered Jesus, the living Christ, and he was dramatically changed. And you can find this story in the book of Acts. And I think actually, as we're going through this through this series, it might be really helpful to look at the book of Acts too, because lots of these things coincide. And Jesus met Paul and he was converted. And Paul, this overly zealous man, took all that zealousness and became a zealous Christian. Yay! And it's amazing. And lots of the New Testament, lots of the letters and these kind of massive theological things were written by Paul. And they're very passionate. They're very hard hitting, as you heard from what we just read. And they're very, very serious. I remember studying about Paul a couple of years back, and there was this phrase that they had, which is very kind of interesting, that Paul had this idea of gospel over rights. And I just thought it was brilliant, just the idea that Paul thought that the gospel was so important that it preceded the rights that we had. So Paul would rejoice when he was in prison, even though we have the right for freedom. But actually, you know, he went to prison for the gospel, and so that was okay. And, you know, lots of what we'll see within these letters here might come across with some of these things where Paul is saying, actually, there are things we can do, but because the gospel is so important, we don't do them. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's brilliant things there. And so Paul was chilling. He was going around spreading the gospel. And he met this young man named Timothy. And you can find this story, actually, in the book of Acts. And I've got it written here. Yeah, in Acts chapter 15. You don't have to turn to it. I'll just read it from verses 1 to 5. It says, it's got a hard word to read here. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching, that's the wrong scripture. Acts chapter 16, sorry. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jew and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. It's mixed race. Cool. I'm mixed race. the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of this person, this Timothy. Paul wanted to circumcise him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. That's a little history on Paul and Timothy. Basically, they were good friends. And, you know, if you look in, what is it, verse 2, I think? Yeah, verse 2 says, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. You've got a wonderful relationship here. And, you know, as we're talking about family, this is what it's all about. Paul and Timothy were basically brothers, or father and son, whatever weird way. Timothy is also a young man, just like Ed, you know, a young curate. He looks very young. and we see that, Paul and Timothy have a really cool relationship, and they were family. And also we see at the start here that Timothy was told by Paul to stay in Ephesus, which I think is quite cool. Ephesus was a place within, I had it in my head, I've lost it. I want to say the Greek area of the world, Mesopotamia, don't know. Yeah, nice place. Paul told him to stay in Liverpool. so Paul obviously had some oversight with Timothy and encouraged him to stay in Ephesus. And since they didn't have WhatsApp or FaceTime like I do to stay in contact with my best friends, they sent letters to each other. And I've brought some letters as an example. So not everyone knows that I'm going to tell them the letters they've sent me. I've got a letter here from my old friend called Steph. She used to come to St. James a couple of years back. And she was here last year and left me a little note. It said, thank you for being an excellent host and mostly for the premium bed you provided. I've got a spare bed. The highlight was definitely moving boxes down the road. Love, Steph. There's clearly some context here that's missing about moving boxes. What else do we have here? We've got a lovely letter here from the Royal Mail. It says, dear Mr. Daniels, thank you for contacting the Royal Mail. I'm sorry to hear about the problem with your item of mail. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. I don't know where your item is. So some letters are more personal or some are more, you know, general. Royal Mail. Lost my package. Okay. Got here a letter from, is this from St. James? A letter from St. James. It says, you got questions about life? Wondering if God exists? What a place to explore and much more. Try Alpha. Oh, thank you very much, St. James. I'll be at Alpha tomorrow. It's going to be great. And I've also got a letter here. It's very purple. Oh, it's from my fiance. I'm going to read a bit of this too. It says, dear Jerome, the sun is shining and I've just had breakfast. Looking out into the garden, God is good. Great. I won't read anymore. Jerome, you're awesome. You're the best fiance ever. You're better at dancing than me. Oh, Bethan, so kind of you. And you know, and so I think the reason why I read these letters out is because obviously, as you can see, because they're between two people, there are lots of things that kind of don't make sense. For example, the boxes. Would you like to hear the boxes story? I'll tell you the boxes story. Basically, Steph came to visit and our friend Candy was moving house. And I said to Steph at about 11 o'clock, I was like, Steph, you want to help Candy move some boxes? And I thought it would be like, you know, two or three boxes down the road. No big deal. It was about 20, 25 boxes. And it was quite good. And the police were kind of watching us as we were carrying these big boxes down the road. It was brilliant. But yeah, like these letters, you know, there are lots of contextual things within them that kind of may not make sense. And I think it's important as we are tackling 1st and 2nd Timothy to remember that context is very important. So there may be some things that we think, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make sense at all. Well, obviously, it's because this was written 2,000 years ago in a very specific time. And not only was it written within that time, but it was written within context of two people's relationship as well. There are things that Paul and Timothy are talking about which are really important. So we're going to have to grapple with some things over the next few months, and we're going to have to do some research, and we're going to have to really kind of tackle with some of these things so that we can get what God's trying to say to us. Is that all right? Cool. So I'm going to be sharing a few ways this letter speaks to me and how I feel it may be speaking to us as a church family. And I think the overarching theme of this letter And specifically, 1 Timothy is the gospel. Yeah, which is always good. How good it is, and how it should be protected and preserved in our society. And my prayer is that as we look into it, that God would inspire our hearts to live out this gospel in the world. And that's what I believe leadership is about. It's about inspiring our hearts so we can live out the gospel and affect others. So, okay, so let me just pray. I know Curse has already prayed for us, but I'm going to pray anyways. Father God, thank you so much that you've brought us here this morning. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be formed to your image, Father. Lord, that you call us to focus on the gospel. And I just pray, Father, that as we look at these texts today and for the next couple of months, Lord, that you'd really inspire us, Lord, to live for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have 3 points, which is awesome. When I got my 3rd point, I was so happy because I was like, yes, this is a real sermon. It's got 3 points. It's good. My 1st point is quite simple. Timothy was sent to Ephesus, and he was told there to basically confront the church leaders and people that were preaching. That they were preaching basically dangerous ideologies that kept people blinded to the true gospel. And my question is this, and it's a question that I think all of us should be able to answer in some way. Where are you sent? So Timothy was sent to Ephesus, but where are we sent? And where is God leading you to go? And maybe even more importantly, where has God brought you to? Because sometimes we can be really focused on going out somewhere else, where actually God has called us potentially to stay where we are. I got a story when I was in school. So I got baptized in 2007. I was probably like 13, 14, full of testosterone. I wanted to preach the gospel to everyone and just run around and heal the sick and raise the dead, which is fantastic, and I still want to do that. But actually, part of my psyche made me feel like going to school was a bit of a waste of time. I was like, oh man, Jesus is so much bigger than maths. Who cares about Pythagoras? You know, and I wasn't, honestly, like for about six or so months, I really didn't care about school. I didn't care about what I was getting involved with. I was just like, oh, I just want to do Jesus stuff. And I had this kind of, you know, this break between life and Jesus stuff. And thankfully, through lots of prayer for my family, they showed me actually, and going to church, I realized that God had called me to be where I am. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're called to be a light within our schools, even our places of work. This for you could be your school, if you had any school kids here. No. it could be a university, your work, your local pub, the restaurants you go to. Yesterday I was in Backsheesh. Had to get it in there. It could be the restaurants you go to. These are the places where God has called us to make a difference, to make an influence. And it's not just places too. It's also people. It could be your family. You know, it could be your friends, your neighbors. It was recently my little brother's birthday. He turned 17, yes. He turned 17. And my mum, annoyingly, I'm so embarrassing, put a picture on Facebook and it says, Judah, you were born into this world as a blessing and you're blessing us. And actually, it's true that we are called to be part of our family, to bless them, to bless our friends. It's so important. And if I read verse 5 out here, it says this, the goal of this work, so what are we called to do? The goal of this work, hold on, it's a bit, from verse 4 it says, such things that these people were teaching promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. And that's what we're called to be doing, to be living out this love. So that's the first question, where and to whom are you called? Ta-da. Point number one. Okay, and the second point, or the second kind of question, is what does the gospel mean to you? What does the gospel mean to you? And I think this is something that we'll kind of pull through throughout the series as well. So I was watching this story on YouTube, which is my source of knowledge and information these days. YouTube's great. And it was about this lady that went to this church in America. It's always America. And and basically, she was saying how God was blessing her financially. She got this really cool and massive house. And she used this phrase that's quite interesting. She was like, I was living a holy life and God was blessing me. That's what she said. And as you can imagine, life is not always up. And it started to go down and, like, you know, she lost her job, etc. And because she felt like she had these things because God was blessing her, because she was holy, she was like, oh, this Christian thing's not working. You know, God's not blessing me anymore. Like, what, you know, I read my Bible every day. Why don't I have a six-figure job anymore, you know? And maybe this isn't what they were talking about in Ephesus. Maybe it was. But there are many different ideologies that we have that kind of aren't the true gospel. The idea that, you know, oh, I do good things, so I get good things from God. The kind of karma-esque. Karma-esque, is that a word? Kind of based on the karma, do good, get good, happen to you. Idea about Christianity. And we can all get into those kind of traps of thinking that our salvation is based on our good deeds or our righteousness or anything that is contrary to the truth of the gospel. And it says here that people in Ephesus were being confused as well, arguing about what foods you should eat, or, you know, God only loves vegans, or that kind of stuff, or what family you're from, like, or are you connected to Abraham properly, or, you know, imagine Timothy is dual heritage, not even a proper Jew, what's he doing? You know, all these kind of things that these aren't true. So if I read verses 15 to 17, it says this, it's wonderful. This is the true gospel. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Oh, it's just so wonderful. But for this very reason, I was shown mercy that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. You know, our gospel isn't one about works. It's not about things that you have to do. It's not about where you're from, or if you're from the blessed place of Birmingham, or if you're from Liverpool. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you do with your time. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus has died for us all already. And, you know, we don't have to earn his love in that particular way. There's nothing that we can do to get God to love us any more or any less, because he loves us with that imperfect love. It's just wonderful. Perfect love, sorry. He loves us entirely. And I really believe this should be the center and the motivator of our good works. Yes, we are called to good works. And yes, we are called to live out a good and righteous life, but not so that we can attain eternal life, but so we can, you know, spread the love and spread the message of the gospel. It's wonderful. So let's let this be the motivator of our good works in love, in our own heart and our place of influence, to focus on the true gospel. And so my third point, which is quite interesting, I didn't see this until perhaps Thursday, and I was looking for it again, and I realized how beautiful it was. And I'll read out verses 18 to 19. Timothy, this is kind of the end of it. My son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith and good conscience, which some have rejected. Paul is reminding Timothy about the prophecies that were spoken over him. And I just think that's brilliant, you know, that Paul's not saying, oh yeah, I'm just telling you these things and just random things that you've never heard before. You know, this Paul and Timothy are part of this bigger narrative of their local church, of their community, which has been speaking the life of the gospel over them before. Paul is speaking to Timothy to remember the prophetic words spoken about us. And, you know, I just think that's so important for us to remember the things that God has laid on our hearts for each other and what God has laid on your heart. It's interesting, I was looking at what it meant to have a prophetic word, or, you know, the prophecies that have been spoken. And, you know, a prophetic word isn't always a picture of the future, or Jerome will go to work tomorrow. You know, it's not always just a prediction, but it could be something that is an encouraging word, or something that reveals something about someone, and helps people to be drawn into the heart of God. And so, kind of as we're here now, and as I'm about to close, what are the things that God has put on your heart? You know, when something gets said to you and someone encourages you something with a scripture, or very often when people get baptized or confirmed, someone gives them a scripture for them to remember, to hold fast to, you should write that down, and we should really let these things sink into us. What have your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ declared over you? And I think it's really important as a church that we get into the habit of speaking good things over each other. At the end of the service, we'll be having some prayer ministry. It's a really great time for people to speak the love of God over people and to declare some really good things. And, you know, speaking a word of prophecy or an encouraging word doesn't have to be a big or complex thing. Something very interesting about St. James is that we have these values to live, to love, grow, serve, and build. And in a sense, these are kind of, you could say, our prophetic word as to what we are standing by. Paul tells us to stand firm to these words. And it's really important because actually the decisions we make in St. James are based on these values. And we encourage each other within these ways as well. So I think we should really do that. Is that something we can do to encourage each other in the faith? Yeah, that's all right. That's good. And something maybe subtle in here is that it's rooted within the family of God. The thing that helps you to fight the good fight, the thing that helps you to move forward, is being active and rooted within the family of God. It's important for us to be active within church, within the body of believers. When I was a student, it was very important for me to be rooted within the Christian Union as well, you know, or different kind of, basically, because it helps us to stay focused throughout the week, you know, and that's why St. James has so many good things happening throughout the week, like a Mammoth Mondays. And I might as well just say now, it's a really good idea to get that save the date inside your diary for the weekend away. There's different lovely things like that, where we can encourage each other and we can really build each other up for the gospel. Cool. And so to close, thank you all for listening. The main points were this. I've forgotten them. Which are to remember who and where you've been sent to. So you might want to write that down, perhaps. To stay focused on the gospel and to not be led astray. And definitely within the next couple of months, as we look at the letters from Timothy, there will be things that kind of spark things up. And it's important to remember to keep the gospel centered and to see how that affects. Does that make sense? And also, it's really important that we are listening to the encouraging words from each other and encourage each other in the faith. I just want to call the band up as we go forward. Thank you. God has called us all to be leaders in many different aspects of life. Some of us, it's up at the front. Some of us, it's being an influence, a positive influence in our homes, in our churches, maybe in our families, even our friendship groups. And it's really important, actually, and maybe I said it a bit too fast, to really make sure that we have the gospel of Jesus central to everything that we do. And so we're going to go into a time of worship now. Thank you, Matt. And we're going to be having some guys up here at the front, guys and girls, to be praying with people. I want to encourage us all, if you've been in any way touched about receiving a word from God, perhaps, maybe today the Lord will speak to you. So do come up for prayer ministry. And also for some of us, you may actually find ourselves sometimes slipping into thinking about, you know, the false gospel. It's very, very, very easy to think that, you know, it's all about the things that we do and we may be striving for God's love. But I just want to encourage you to say that actually God does love us. And there's nothing you can do to get rid of God's love or to get it anymore, because he really does love us entirely. And so that would be something worth coming in to pray to you as well. So I'm just going to pray and then I'm going to hand over to Matt. Father God, I thank you so much that you love us perfectly. Lord God, that you are the King of all creation. Lord, I thank you that you've invited us into a wonderful family where we can love and encourage each other in the faith. And God, I pray that you'd be speaking your truth over us, Father. There's so many different words that are going on in the world, Father. People telling us that we're this, that we must do that, Father. But Lord, we want to know what you have to say. We want to know what your gospel truth is for us, Lord. So I pray that you'd help us to be focused on you. That we can live and love and serve you freely. In Jesus' name I pray these things.